If you take your Bible this morning, we're going to continue on our study with Noah. And as we look at Noah, we're looking at the character of Noah. The Bible shows here in Genesis chapter 6, as we're learning of Noah, I've said before, as you read through chapters 6, 7, and 8, a lot of people are very familiar with Noah and the flood, how it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And basically, Noah was on that ark for over a year. God destroyed all flesh and everything that had the breath of life in it. Most of us, I would believe in here, know the story that God brought the animals by twos and the clean animals by sevens into the ark. And I'm not going to dwell a long time on chapters 7 and 8 as we go through it and the story there. I feel more impressed to lean upon and to study and look at why God looked at Noah and how Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why Noah? Man, you had probably at least a couple hundred thousand people, if not over a million people on the earth at this time. Why is Noah picked out of all these people to find grace in the eyes of the Lord? So we've been looking through that. And in verse number 9 here, we've been going through where it says in verse 9 of chapter 6, these are the generations of Noah. Noah, the Bible says, was a just man and perfect in his generation. And the Bible says, and Noah walked with God. You jump over to chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Why? For thee have I seen righteous before me in his generation. So we find in chapter 6, verse 9, or 8 and 9, and chapter 7, verse 1, that Noah finds grace in the eyes of the Lord. Then we find out that he's a just man, and he's perfect in his generation, and that he walks with God. And then we find in chapter 7, verse 1, that God has seen in Noah as a righteous man before him in all his generation that he's living in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning, Lord. I thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, I thank you for the United States of America. Lord, I'm thankful that I was born here, dear God. And Lord, I'm thankful for all the blessings that you bestowed upon me, dear Lord. Lord, I thank you for the ability this morning, dear God, to walk and to hear and to see and have my cognitive ability about me to where I can think, dear God. Thank you for these things, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for salvation, dear God. I thank you for this country, dear God, that we have the ability to have a Bible and not feel persecution because we own one, or feel like we're going to be taken to jail this morning because we're meeting in church. Lord, I thank you for these privileges, dear God. And Lord, I pray you'd help me, Lord, to redeem the time. So Lord, help us now as we go forward. I pray you'd open our eyes and open our ears to be able to receive what's written in your word, and we'll give you the glory and honor and praise for it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have been looking the last couple weeks about being just. It means basically being upright and honest. If you take your Bible this morning, look over at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we're going to look here at a just man here in Luke chapter 2. And I'll say this about being just, about being upright or honest, about trying to conform yourself to the laws or principles of God, just doing what's right. You know, one thing I've realized in our society today, one thing it is very hard for people today to do is to admit when they're wrong. How many people you find today where you catch them in something to where you know they're wrong and you're waiting for them to admit that they're wrong and they don't admit it? Brethren, you're not going to go nowhere with God, and if you're lost, you're not going to find God until you can get to the point to where you can admit that you're wrong in certain situations. Listen, if you can never apologize when you've done something wrong, and you know you've done something wrong, and you can't apologize for it, or come back later and say, listen, I'm sorry for what I did, you're going to have a hard time coming to God. And that's a major thing today in our society. People just to say, you know what, I'm wrong. I was wrong in that situation. I'm sorry. I misinformed you. That wasn't right. That wasn't correct, and I'm sorry. Most people today can't do that. Why? Because of pride. They're too ate up with pride to be able to come back later on, because that would have to show humility to say that I was wrong in this situation and I'm sorry. Brethren, I'm telling you, your spiritual life is going to stay stagnant. You will go nowhere with God if you can never get to a point to where you can be honest. And that's one of the definitions of a just man, is that they're willing to be honest about who they are and their life that they're living before God. Look here, the thing about being just is this, is that the Holy Ghost will reveal certain things to those that are just. Those that are willing to be honest and upright and judge righteously, God will then give them insight that others will not get because they're willing to be honest with themselves. And God sees that, God acknowledges that, and someone that can be honest and just, look, brethren, God's not looking for us, understand what I'm saying. The Lord knows we're going to mess up. The Lord knows we're going to sin. The Lord knows that we're going to fall short of His glory, even though we're saved by the Spirit of God. But what God's looking for is the times to where you fall and you don't do right. What God's looking for is for you to get up and make it right. But most people won't get to that point to where they get up and make it right and acknowledge the truth of the situation and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry because of whatever happened here. I'm sorry. But if you can get to the point to where you're be honest and you can admit these things with God and yourself, then I believe God will give you spiritual insight that He won't give to others. Now, look here at Luke chapter 2 and look at verse number 25. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Here in this story, or where we're at in the Bible, is Joseph and Mary have brought the Lord Jesus Christ, the babe, or the young man that the Lord is here, to be dealt with and to present him here in Jerusalem according to the law of Moses. But look at verse number 25 of chapter 2. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Look what the Bible says about him. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And look what the Bible says. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And look what the Bible says. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Why was Simeon chosen out of all those that work there in the temple? Why was Simeon chosen to have this revelation given to him by the Holy Ghost? Well, because he was just and he was devout. You know, the same could be said for the revelation that was given to Zacharias and Elizabeth. They were righteous before God, not sinless before God, but they were righteous before God because they strove, both husband and wife, to do those things that were pleasing to God. And they got revelation from God for it. Here Simeon is revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should see the Lord's Christ before he dies. Verse number 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Now we're going to get to, I don't know if this lesson here or in a Sunday morning lesson, do you see what the verse 30 says? For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. His eyes have been enlightened to see the one, the very one that he's holding in his hands is his salvation, Jesus Christ. Where is everybody else at in Jerusalem? Here you have one man, and here you're going to have Anna come in later on. Simeon and Anna revealed to them the Lord Jesus Christ's salvation, his eyes being opened to see who he's holding in his hands. Verse 31, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Look what the Bible says, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. They're getting spiritual insight here because of a man that was willing to be just and devout before God. Go on down to verse number, we'll stop there. Take your Bible and look at Acts chapter 10, verse 22. Being just not only opens one's eyes to spiritual insight, it also opens one's eyes and ears to the warnings of God and leads them to salvation. Take your Bible, look at Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, Noah was a just man, and God revealed some things to Noah, just as God revealed some things to Cornelius. Look at Acts chapter 10 and verse number 22. Well, we'll start in verse 19 to get the context. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent from him, sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause whereof ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. So see what else is linked up with this being a just individual. We find here that individuals that are just before God or are considered a just man before God, we also find here with Cornelius, he was one that feareth God. A just man or woman will be honest before God. Why? For the most part, because they fear God. Why? Because the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, beholding the evil and the good. I believe Noah had a fear of God, and I believe the scriptures show that he had a fear of God. Because the Bible, we're going to get to it, the Bible says he moved with fear. Noah was a man of faith. Noah was a just man, but I believe Noah was also a man that feared God and his commandments, thus pushing him to be honest. You know, what's amazing about the Lord is he already knows us. He already knows. Look, when we do wrong, God already knows that we did wrong. But a lot of times we want to run from it. And God's saying, listen, I already know. Well, why are you running? Just make it right. Don't run. You're running to where I keep seeing you. It's almost like the Lord looking down at a hamster or a mouse in a little aquarium. Sorry for a carnal example, but it's like the Lord's watching us run around and trying to hide. And the Lord's like, hey, if you just come and just make this thing right, we can go on. There's nowhere where you can go to where you're going to hide from the presence of God and try to cover it up. The Lord says, you can cover it all day long. I still see what you've done. I'm just looking for you to make it right. So Noah was a just man, and he was one that feareth God. And this is a Gentile. This is a Gentile centurion that fears God, and he's just before God. Not only that, he's got a good report among all the nation of the Jews. And look what happens. Look what it says in verse 22. This is the same thing with Noah. Look what it says. It says, in the middle of the verse, among all the nation of Jews, was warned from God. You know who got the warning from God? A man that was just and feared him. You know who got the warning of God almost 5,000 some years ago that God was getting ready to flood out this earth? Noah, who was a just man and feared him, and he got the warning. You know who will get the warning today that God's going to destroy this earth by fire the next time? Those that have an honest and a sincere heart and that they fear God, and I believe they'll get the insight, their eyes being enlightened, that God is going to destroy this planet. Those that will get the insight are those that are humble, honest before God and that fear him. Nobody, I don't believe anybody's going to get that insight if they're proud. The Bible says God resists the proud, but he gives grace. What did Noah find? He found grace in the eyes of the Lord, but God giveth grace unto the humble. You know why Noah got insight? Because he's humble. Any prideful individual will not get insight from God. Now, they might get general Bible knowledge from God, or better, general Bible knowledge, but they won't have their eyes enlightened. And we're going to get to there. You know what's missing today is people get Bible knowledge, but I got this question for you this morning. Have your eyes been enlightened? I've said it before to where you can get spiritual principles out of the Bible, not just mere history and facts. Spiritual insight. You know, when Jonathan went through there and he was hungry and he didn't know the command that his daddy had made and he put forth his rod and he took a little bit of his honey, what does the Bible say? His eyes were enlightened. His eyes were enlightened. And what is the word of God likened to? Honey. Psalm chapter 19. Take your Bible, I'll go there for a moment. Look at Psalm chapter 19. Look at Psalm 19. Look what David says here in Psalm 19. Look at verse number 7. Psalm 19 and verse number 7. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Look what the Bible says here next. The commandment of the Lord is pure. Look what it does. Enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The eyes, the Bible says, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Psalm 119, verses 130. Enlightening the eyes. So Cornelius had his eyes enlightened to what was going to happen or what he needed to do for salvation. And God saw that and God brought to him Peter, who showed him the way of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Take your Bible now and look at Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. Now, one thing that we know about the just, from according to the word of God, that the just shall live by faith. Okay? Habakkuk chapter 2, look at verse number 4. We'll start in verse 1. Habakkuk 2, verse 1. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. You see, a proper fear and understanding of God's will cause one's faith to grow. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We grow by the word of God. We grow by our faith will grow as we spend time in the word of God. But the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith, not by sight. You see, brethren, we don't walk by what we see. We walk by faith in what God's proclaimed for us. See, if we go off of what we see or what we think or what we feel, that will sometimes, most oftentimes, leave us flat-footed and could cause us to fall. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith because that's what pleases God. The just shall live by faith. Take your Bible. Look over in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. The Apostle Paul quotes it here to the church at Rome. He says in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 17. Romans 1, verse 17. Look what the Bible says here. Romans 1, 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, think about Moses for a moment. Noah was a man of faith. Noah was moved by God to build something that was huge for all of mankind to see that was around him, this huge ark for something that never even occurred before. Very easily, Noah could have questioned God and said, God, why do I need to build this, seeing I have no idea what you're talking about, Lord? You talk about a flood that's coming. You're talking about rain that's coming, Lord. Lord, you're talking about you're going to destroy everything that breathes by water. And Lord, I've never seen rain before, so God, I need to question you. No, Noah walked by faith. When Noah was given a commandment by God, even though he didn't understand it, he still did what God said to do. You see, there's going to be times in our Christian walk to where we're not going to understand why God's doing what he's doing. There might be times where God will never show us in certain areas of our life why he's doing what he's doing. It's his prerogative to not tell us why he's doing what he's doing. But us as Americans, often as Christian Americans, we want to know why God's doing what he's doing. God, I demand of you, you tell me why you're doing this. Oh, that's a scary spot to be in. I was in a situation not too long ago to where I had a woman come up to me and she says, when I get home to heaven someday, I got some questions for God. And I thought, you scare me. Are you serious? Have you been reading your Bible lately? Read the book of Job. The way it was said, I said, oh, let me step away before lightning comes down or a tornado comes through because I don't want to be around. Who do you think you are? I'll tell you what, when I get home from heaven someday, I got some questions for God. You scare me. I wanted to say this lady, do you realize what you are? You're nothing. You are blessed that God has even given you air to breathe right now. And who are you to shake your fist at God? If God wanted to put you through fire the rest of your life, who are you to shake your fist at him and say, why doest me thou thus? Think about it for a moment, brethren. We've gotten too high in our estimation of ourselves. We did not create ourselves. We're not here because we willed ourselves here this morning. We're here by the grace of God. And right now, the very breath that we breathe is in his hand. And at any moment, God would be just to say, I'm taking it away and you're coming back in my presence. Why? Because God giveth life to everything. And how could we ever get to the point to where we can look at God and say, God, why are you doing what you're doing? Now, I'm not saying, brethren, there's not times where we question things. That's normal. And David said he poured out his complaint before God. But brethren, if it crosses over into a point to where we start getting an attitude towards God, we better be very careful with it. We better be very careful with it. And we better tread very lightly. Because when you start to get to the point to where you're shaking your fist at God and demanding of God an answer, it's of God's mercies that we're not consumed every morning. Take your Bible, look at Lamentations chapter 3. Look at Lamentations, the book of Lamentations, right after the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, there in the Old Testament. Look at Lamentations chapter 3 and look at verse number 50. Lamentations chapter 3, verse number 22. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. If any man in the Bible, among many people in the Bible, if anybody had an opportunity besides Job to kind of maybe get an attitude towards God because of what he was having to go through, it would have been Jeremiah. I'm glad that I wasn't Jeremiah. Jeremiah was thrown into a pit and he sunk down so far up to his neck that basically he's like, I'm getting ready to die. And he's pulled out and God saves him. Jeremiah is told to go to a people that God says they will not listen to you. Not only will they not listen to you, they're going to hate you and want to kill you. But look what Jeremiah says in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. It's of God's mercy, brethren. And you know, if you're honest this morning, and if I'm honest this morning, we've given God ample opportunity from the time we've been born to this very moment this morning. We've given God ample opportunity to consume us, if we're honest. And God, the Bible says, shows us compassion. Look what the Bible says, because his compassions fail not. Verse number 23, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope, and look what it says, and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Brethren, when I realize how good God is to me and the mercy and the grace that he shows for me, it wants me to love and please him even more. When I look in the mirror and I realize how wretched this man is in his flesh and how many oftentimes in my life I've done what pleases Chris Welton, yet God still shows me mercy and compassion and he doesn't consume me. He doesn't sweep me away. He's long-suffering to me. When I realize how long-suffering he is to me, it should ought to make me want to love him and please him even more. not get lifted up with pride and shake my fist at God. No, fall down before his feet and say, merciful, merciful, merciful God you are. Gracious, long-suffering, your compassion, Lord, I thank you for it. See, Noah was a just man before God, and he feared God, and he walked by faith. Paul says here in the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 17, the just shall live by faith. Now take your Bible, flick over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We're looking here this morning at Noah and how the Bible says that he was a just man and that he was also perfect. That word perfect means Noah was complete. We're going to get to that in a second here. But look at Hebrews chapter 11, and let's start in verse number 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now we go into verse 6. For without faith, it is impossible to please him, God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I believe Noah, as we're going to see in verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. But we find in verse 6 that it's impossible to please God but by faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and who does God reward? Them that diligently seek him. I believe Noah, as a just man, diligently sought God. I believe he diligently sought God. I believe every morning Noah woke up, Noah sought the Lord to do those things that were pleasing in the eyes of God. And thus God revealed to Noah about what was getting ready to happen, and Noah was able to save himself and his family as well from the wrath that was getting ready to pour out by God. Why was this revealed to God? Because by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. That's what's missing today. Nobody has a fear of God today. The Bible says that God destroyed the first time the earth by water, but the second time that God's going to destroy this earth, it's going to be by fire. And when you realize that the judgment of God is getting ready to come soon, it ought to move you with fear to find out really who God is in truth. I have a right fear of God. I know that I'm saved this morning, and if I were to drop dead right here this morning, I believe with all my soul that I would be in the presence of God. But I still have a right fear of the Lord for who he is. You see, no fear of God, and they don't see themselves as sinners, nor has the Holy Ghost revealed this unto them. Take your Bible and look over at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, and look at verse number 10. Romans 3:10. Noah moved with fear, and he prepared an ark. Paul talks about saving some by fear, to realize there's an eternity that we're going to have to face someday. Romans chapter 3 verse 10 says this, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Look what the Bible says here. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Is that not today? Is that not the generation that we live among today here in the United States of America? You don't have to go very far to hear somebody use profane language. You don't have to go very far. Sometimes you'll hear it even amongst the brethren. Sadly, you don't have to go very far to hear those whose mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Those that have a grudge or hatred, a bitter taste in their mouth. You don't have to go very far. Verse 15, their feet are swift to shed blood. You don't have to go very far in America today to find feet that are swift to shed blood. Let's just take a little trip down to Philadelphia. Brethren, this is what the Bible's saying. You don't have to go very far to find people that find nothing. It's nothing to them to take somebody's life. To pull out a gun and start shooting into a crowd, feet that be swift to shed blood. Look at what the Bible says in verse 16. Destruction and misery are in their ways. This is the most joyous time of the year. Just go out into the traffic. This is the most joy, whatever the song is. La 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 la, yeah. Bam, bam, get out of my way. This is the worst time of the year with people's attitudes. Just go down Grape Street, Arthur, Fullerton, this coming Friday, and you'll see how joyous people are in our country. Just take some time this Friday, get up early, and go into one of the stores and just put a pleasant smile on your face and say, isn't this wonderful? And see how many times people give you just a mean old look or just want to start yelling at you as they pick out their gifts for everybody that they love. Brethren, seriously. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Look what the Bible says in verse 17. And the way of peace have they not known. You know why so many people have to go to prescription drugs and alcohol and every other little thing they have today? And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith to them that are under law. The Bible says that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Man don't like reproof. Man doesn't want the light to shine, because when the light shines, what it shows man is that man is undone outside of Jesus Christ. You know why man doesn't like the gospel of Jesus Christ? That he needs a Savior, but before he realizes he needs a Savior, he needs to realize that he's a sinner and that he's undone and that he's wicked before a holy God. And that if he doesn't turn to God through Jesus Christ, the wrath of God abides upon him. And that he's guilty before God. Man doesn't like to be told he's guilty. Who are you to tell me I'm guilty? Who are you to tell me that I've got sin in my life? I'm a good person. I'm a good individual. No, my friend, you're not. The only good thing there is Jesus Christ. And there's only one good individual in all of the universe, and that's God. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Why? That all the world may become guilty before God. And that every mouth may be stopped. Again, who are we to look at God and shake our fist at him? You see, take your Bible, look over at 1 Peter. Well, no, we'll skip that. We're going to skip that. I want you to look at real quick at 2 Chronicles chapter 19. This fear of God and how it should move us in a right way. A proper fear of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 19. Now we've looked through this as our study through the kings of Judah. But I just want to read it again here. 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse number 5. Jehoshaphat just gets rebuked for going and joining himself up with Ahab. He takes the rebuke, and look what the Bible says here. In 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse number 5. And he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city. And he said to the judges, take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Basically, you're not going to buy off God. Verse number 8. Moreover, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set of the Levites and of the priests and of the chief of the fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies when they returned to Jerusalem. And he charged them, saying, thus shall ye do in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a perfect heart. Take your Bible and look at Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. I believe faith and the fear of the Lord are linked up with each other. Look at Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. It all comes back to humility. It all comes back to humility. Proverbs 15, look at verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. The instruction of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. Take your Bible, flip over a couple chapters there in Proverbs to chapter 22. And the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Before honor is humility. Look at Proverbs chapter 22. Look at verse number 4. Proverbs 22, verse 4. Look what the Bible says. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. You desire the riches that come from God's word. You desire the honor that can come from the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you desire life? The life that comes from Jesus Christ. The Bible says by humility and the fear of the Lord are those things. Having a humble spirit about you and a proper fear of God. Now, I said it before, but let's read the verse as we close out here this morning. Look over at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Noah was a just man. Next week, Lord willing, we'll go into the how Noah was perfect in his generation. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. And look at verse number 5. 1 Peter 5, 5. The Bible says here, likewise, ye youngers, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. And look what we're to be clothed with. And be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud. And look what the Bible says. And giveth grace. Unto who? To the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now, we're going to close with this thought here for a moment. We go on as we read through here, Peter, the Lord talks to Peter here, talking about how God resists the proud, but God gives grace to the humble. And it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that may he may exalt you in due time. You know, one individual that I will not want to go to war with or be out on patrol with as a police officer is somebody that's lifted up with pride. Now, when I was a police officer and a state trooper for a number of years down there, there were certain individuals that I did not want responding to help me out with a call that I might be on. Because I knew if they showed up, they would probably stir the situation up rather than try to calm the situation down. Because they were very prideful and they were very arrogant because they had a badge on their chest and a gun on their side and they thought they were invincible. And it came out in their actions. And I realized this one thing, you can have a badge on your chest and a gun on your side and still be shot. Okay. And so I always try to handle situations, look, I'm not going to go in like, yeah, I'm here to save the world type of situation. So with a soldier and even those that are in positions of like law enforcement, you want to be humble, yet you still got to show courage, but you show humility through your courage. And courage is nothing more than going on despite your fear. Those that have no fear, I don't want to be with you because you ought to have a kind of fear as you go out on call every day or if you're a soldier in a foxhole. You know the ones that would concern me in a foxhole, the one that didn't have no fear. No, my friend, I don't want to be with you. Now, if you have a proper fear, we'll go forward. But if you're handling yourself correctly and you're trying to walk humble, usually those that are humble are going to stay low. Those that are proud are going to be the ones that are going to be lifted up. I'm not very smart as a soldier, but I know if you're in a wartime situation, you want to be as low as you possibly can be, especially when shots are being fired. And if you're in law enforcement and shots are being fired, you want to get as low as you can get and behind concealment or cover. A prideful individual will be out there no. You want to try and find cover. You want to stay low. You want to keep your head down, lest the enemy see it and take you out. The lion, the Bible says here that devil is a lion, walketh about seeking whom may be devour. You know the easy one for a lion to see? A giraffe. Be kind of hard to hide a giraffe. I wouldn't want to be a giraffe. But giraffes are pretty mean in and of themselves. And God, I think, made them way because God realizes a giraffe can't really hide. But a giraffe, it's been shown, lions won't mess with giraffes. Research it a little bit. A lion will not mess with a full-grown giraffe. Why? Because it's been known that giraffes have taken off a lion's head by their kick. Like completely take the lion's head off. Now, can you imagine the other lions watching that? They're like, yeah, Larry, let's not mess with the giraffes no more. Okay? We just saw what he did to Bob, and if your name's Bob, I'm sorry, but we just saw what he did to Bob. Yeah, they're off our hunting list right now. Okay? Right? We're not messing with the giraffes no more. But if you're a zebra or an antelope or something like that, you try to stay in cover and keep your head low and not to vaunt yourself before the lions. I guess what I'm saying here is with humility is lowliness. And I believe Noah was a man that showed humility and thus his ability to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. May God help us this morning to walk humbly with him and to find the grace that's given there to us by Jesus Christ to live a life that's not a life of care, but we're casted upon him and that we're sober and we're vigilant and we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning, Lord. I thank you for your mercy and your grace. Dear God, I thank you for your mercy, Lord, that they're renewed and showed to us every morning, dear God, and thy compassions fail not. Lord, help us not to take these things for granted, dear God. Lord, help us not to be haughty, lifted up, forward, dear God, prideful. But Lord, help us to walk lowly with you, dear God. Help us to be, as Peter said, Lord, help us to be clothed with humility, realizing, dear God, daily, Lord, that you resist the proud, but you give grace unto the humble. And Lord, I pray you'd help us as we continue on to learn about Noah. Lord, he was a just man. He was perfect in his generation. I believe the Bible shows, Lord, that he was a man that feared you, and he walked by faith, dear God. So Lord, help us to learn from Noah. Lord, help us to learn about his character. Lord, help us to apply these principles to our own life, dear God, that we be men and women of faith and that we would please you in the lives that you've given us to live. So, Lord, help us now as we go forward that you receive the glory, honor, and praise. And we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.